was to stir them up again every few hours. Saul Ketcher remained uncharacteristically quiet. She had known the company longer than anyone but the captain, Goblin and One Eye, though from the outside. She would accept nothing at face value, not yet. I hoped she broke a mental sprocket trying to figure it out, though I feared she had already done so, because she kept wondering about the burned bodies and Willow Swan. Could I have planned so obviously that she was confused only because she kept looking for something beyond the kidnapping? I finished the last candlestick. I did not look around, did not say anything, just sat there. It was difficult to focus my thinking away from the danger seated across the room when my fingers were not busy. I gave praise to God silently, as I had learned was proper for a woman when I was little. Equal praise was due Sara's insistence on staying in character. Both served me well. At some point, Jarl Barondandi came back. Under the eyes of the Great Ones, he was not an unkind boss. He told Subradil it was time to leave. Subradil bestirred Sawa. As I got to my feet, I made some sounds of distress.
"What is that?" Barondandi asked.
"She's hungry. We haven't eaten all day."
Usually the management did provide a few scraps. That was one of the perks. Subradil and Sawa sometimes husbanded some of their share and took it home. That established and sustained the women's habit of carrying things out of the palace. The protector leaned forward. She stared intently. What had we done to tickle her suspicion? Was she just so ancient in her paranoia that she needed no clue stronger than intuition? Or was it possible that she really could read minds, just a touch? Barondandi said,
"We'll go to the kitchen then. The cook's overprepared badly today."
We shuffled out behind him, each step like leaping another league out of winter toward spring, out of darkness into light. 4 or 5 paces outside the meeting chamber, Barondandi startled us by running a hand through his hair and gasping. He told Subradil,
"Oh, it feels good to get out of there. That woman gives me the green willies."
She gave me the green willies, too. And only the fact that I had gone deep into character to deal with them saved me giving myself away. Who would suspect that much humanity in Jarl Barondandi? I got a grip on Subradil's arm and shook. Subradil responded to Barondandi softly, submissively agreeing that the protector might be a great horror. The kitchen's normally off-limits to casual labor was a dragon's hoard of edible treasures, with the dragon evicted. Subradil and Sawa ate till they could barely waddle. They loaded themselves with all the plunder they thought they would be allowed to carry off. They collected their few coppers and headed for the servants' postern before anyone could think of something else for them to do, before any of Barondandi's cronies realized that the customary kickbacks had been overlooked. There were armed guards outside the postern. That was new. They were greys rather than soldiers. They did not seem particularly interested in people going out. They did not bother with the usual cursory search casuals had to endure, so nobody carried off the royal cutlery.